I see my role as providing a humanizing presence in what is an utterly dehumanizing environment. That we embody a humanizing presence for someone else who finds themselves objectified just because they're marked as a criminal or a felon and given a sentence.
Paul Schoaf-Kozak oversees the chaplaincy department at the Essex County Correctional Facility in the small town of Middleton, Massachusetts, northeast of Boston. His work is interfaith. The inmates, numbering around 1,300, are charged with a range of offenses from driving without a license to murder. The United States incarcerates more people than any other nation in the world. Federal and state prisons and county jails hold around 2 million prisoners. Another 5 or so million people are on probation or parole. Paul had lived in Central America and then worked with immigrants in Washington, D.C. When later attending theology school in Boston, he started volunteering with inmates in 2009. Raised Roman Catholic and drawn to a social justice calling, for Paul, Sunday morning church has come to mean leading religious services in a tough environment behind prison walls. So what does it mean to provide a human presence in an otherwise cold institution?
Well, we'll start with an actual space. So we want to offer a safe space that's physically safe. So if you were to exist on a jail block here, the fear or the possibility of threat, the threat of violence is constant.
Is there a fair bit of violence perpetrated within this institution?
Even if there's not actual, there is jail fighting and there are fights amongst inmates that happen here, but it's not just the actual physical violence; it's the psychological violence of you having to live in an environment where you just might be attacked, or you can't trust the person who you're sharing a cell with. Like what that does to us psycho-emotionally. So we want people to come to this building and into our chapel or into my office and feel safe. So that's the first way in which we humanize someone, is we provide them with psychological and emotional safety.
How do you do that? How do you make them feel like it's okay, kind of they can let their guard down talking with you?
Well, one way is we call them by their name. Or we call them by the name that they wish to be called, not a last name, not a nickname that they've been given, not an identity that they've claimed or that someone's projected onto them, but a name that they wish to be called, a name that a parent or a loved one might give them. So that's the first thing. We use language of invitation. So we invite people to share. We invite people to tell their own stories. We don't coax or coerce or twist arms. And these would be concepts that you learn in any type of pastoral care or training program. The last thing that we offer is we do provide affirmation, so a non-anxious and non-judgmental presence. So whatever is shared, positive, negative, or in between, is just accepted as such. So someone could share the emotional experience of being very angry and vengeful against someone in the street or against someone in here. But we let that feeling be expressed. We give it permission. Conversely, if someone is sharing joy and contentment, we let that be stated.
When I came to jail for the first time in 2005. That's when, you know, things started to kind of come unraveled for me.
That's Joe Raitano, who's worked as a personal fitness trainer and says he loves people.
I did some time in jail.